Hello, this is Reverend Irvin speaking. Once again, I am sending you our best wishes, God's blessing from the congregation, of which we think that you are an important part. And that's one of the reasons that we're so delighted to share this tape with you. Because you are one of us and you love the Lord as we do. And we're glad that you can share our worship experience. Today's theme is one which is always prominent in the Christian message, the gospel. It's on love. And I hope the approach we use this morning on this tape is a little different and perhaps new meaning and new understanding. Christian love will emerge as we share together. Special feature on this tape is a choral presentation by the Iowa Western Community College singers under the direction of our very fine director of our children's choir, Cheryl Lyle. So all in all, we believe that this tape will be an inspiration to you and perhaps will speak to you, to your heart. It's our prayer that the grace of God will come through and bless you as you share this time with the person who is visiting you. We pray that God will be with you and that he will add more blessings to you and to your loved ones. Oh Lord, once again we join in prayer and lift our common voices to you, you who are almighty and holy. Our supplications are uttered from the depths of our being, or at least that's our intent. Will you be pleased to accept our prayers, ourselves, and our dedications? We do try to be people who are thankful. We are aware sometimes of how ungrateful we are. Accustomed as we are to having so much, we find it hard to acknowledge you as a source of those blessings which enrich our beings and our lives. To list your graces would be impossible, but we do thank you for the relationships of love and friendship which make life wonderful and worthwhile, for the sensitivities which we have, making us aware of the hurt and pain of others, and making us responsive to their joys, for the capacity to experience joy ourselves, and for the maturing power of stress and pain, for the things of the material nature which tend to make our lives comfortable and maybe too easy, for the opportunity to make decisions so that we can follow your will, and for the difficult times which make us realize that we must depend on you, for the laughter and gaiety of a small child which causes us to reflect on the miracle of life, for the Christ through whom you have shown us a marvelous and never-ending love that forgives and accepts. For all of that and for much more, we thank you. Lord God, a love such as yours for us ought to call forth some response from us. Forgive us if we go on accepting it and never doing anything about it. Let us come to see that the fullness of your love is experienced as we respond in love of you and fellow man, not in word only, but in deed as well. May it compel us to sacrifice time and energy and resource in meeting the needs of others. And may it stretch our spirits, accepting those whom we now find unacceptable. Give us a will to love as we are loved, and to serve as Christ served us. We trust that you have a concern about that which concerns us. We therefore lift to you our intercessions. There are among us those who desire healing. May your will be done. There are those who are lonely and bereaved. May comfort and strength come to them. There are those who need direction and guidance. Place your hand on their shoulders and point the way. Listen now to the further intercessions which we make in a moment of silence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus was asked one time, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Some time ago I attended a meeting, and a very pretty young lady led me to my seat. And she wore a big round button on her lapel, which read, "I love you, is that okay?" So after reading the button a second time, I said, "Yeah, I think it's okay." And her reaction was immediate. She ducked her head, blushed, and in a choked voice said, well, that's good. Now, why would anyone wear a button with that written on it? Said that to everybody. You know, you can't get to heaven on sloganeering, and you can't love other people by having neat little sayings. Easy love. We say we love small, long-haired dogs. We love sporty cars, split-level homes, sharp clothes, pop songs. We love some people, faded jeans, and dimpled babies. Love is the most overworked, least practiced word in our time. And the subject is too big for us, and the practice is beyond us. Think of what love is not. It's not little buttons that say, "I love you." It's not little gifts to the United Fund. It isn't songs about love. It isn't banners. It isn't easy sentimentality. It isn't doing what is convenient because it is expected of us. It isn't something nice you do until you get tired of it. And, of course, love is never selfish, irritable, resentful, rude, and lots of other things it is not. But think of what love is. It's tough, eternal, taking people where they are, as they are. Love is being kicked and not kicking back. It's patient and long-suffering. It's real and not faked or imitated. It's unprejudiced, whether it's black or white, long-haired or not, Democratic or Republican. Whether it's a somebody or a nobody. Love is forgiving, it is hopeful, and it's impossible to do by yourself. But you already know that, because you've given mental assent to that kind of thinking about love for a long time, and you believe it. And the fact is, however, that even though we are Christian, we find that in theory about love, that's fine. But we know, or we should know, that in reality and practice, it just doesn't work that way, and it's not really that simple. Now, we've made commitments to be loving after the manner that our Lord commanded us to be before. We've got all inspired. We were going to be different. We made a high resolve to ourselves. We're going to love. Really love other people and love everybody. And then we wake up with a bad headache, or the children are difficult, or the milk is sour, or the car won't start. And that causes us to chuck the whole project saying, well, is no use anyway. And in order to live with ourselves, we begin to say, well, I'm only human. I tried it, but I can't be loving at least all of the time. And you're right, for you can't make yourself love, and you can't be loving all the time. Now, those people who easily and blissfully love everybody are suspect in my book. Isn't it just words most of the time? These people who run around at religious meetings and otherwise with their buttons and with their slogans about, I love you. Isn't it just that? I suspect those people. Your loving of others depends upon your relationship to Christ, not what you say with your lips or write with your pen. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now note the order. First, Jesus says, by implication at least, take care of the God relationship, and then the human relationship. And we've chosen to reverse the order, maybe not intentionally. And in many ways, our system is humanism. It's not Christianity. We say, in effect, let man be the focal point. But this human awareness, while it's good, is in danger of blocking out our God awareness. And the end result is that we often don't care much about either God or man. Now, the God to man relationship, this vertical relationship, needs to be sound before we can make headway on the person-to-person relationship. We start out well to love our neighbors, but we find some of them to be unlovable, so unlovable that we can't stand them, so unworthy that we start to look for worthy people. And then our love is run out of breath, our good intentions evaporate, and so we give up on this loving everybody business. Well, let our love relationship, our loving of others, begin with the Christ relationship. Then all is changed. And you can't love others until you know how much you are loved yourself. Perhaps you don't know how desperately you need to be loved. Have you ever noticed? Now be honest with yourself. In private, we think we're pretty good, you know. We sometimes say, in effect, well, gee whiz, God is so lucky to have us in this church, in his church. God is so lucky to have me as one of his servants. God is, and how compared to others, I am outstanding. Well, I'm not talking for myself, I'm talking for you. And that's the way you think in private. There's the problem. As long as we compare ourselves to others, we are pretty darn good. But the scripture warns us about that. It says, and they, comparing themselves to others, are unwise. We can diagnose the problems of the world, the church, the government, the neighbor. But we have one heck of a time diagnosing and seeing our own needs. If God would help us to see how polluted we are, then perhaps we could see how much we need to be loved. We're physically polluted and polluters. We have polluted our water until our beaches are unfit for swimming. And our rivers are so contaminated that fish cannot live. Our air is polluted, and major cities regularly, along with the temperature, give pollution index readings. We have littered the land so badly that we pick up 56 billion cans of trash every year. 32 billion bottles we pick up. 34 million tons of paper. And did you know it costs nearly $1.5 million for the state of Iowa to keep its highways clean last year? And each one of us here say, why? That's terrible. I'd never contribute to those problems. But we do. We're not only physically polluted, we're mentally polluted. We need not recite the long, long, long list of pornographic material available to everyone who wants it and to lots who don't want it. We need not list the movies which are unfit for decent human beings, nor the TV which is glutted with programming which is fit only for the already morally deranged. Crime is continually rising, violence stalks us, but all that is well chronicled elsewhere. And our reaction to such vulgarity and criminality is to say, but my actions and my thoughts are not like that. I'd never do anything so terrible. And so the comparison of ourself with others goes on. And our unrecognized need to be loved and accepted is covered again. And our hearts are polluted as well. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful and wicked. David came to a place where he knew that he couldn't trust his sinful inclinations, heart, any longer. So he cried out to God to create in him a new heart. Now, once in a while, we catch a glimpse of this truth. And aren't you surprised at the things you are capable of saying to another person in the burst of anger? Aren't you surprised at what you can think when anger overwhelms you and rises up within you? Perhaps that is a true glimpse into our real nature. If God would be so kind as to let us see our own sin, how great our need is, then we might and we ought to cry out with Martin Luther, oh, my sins, my sins, my sins. But once Luther saw his polluted being, he then with a clear eye could see Christ. And he wrote, Christ has redeemed me, delivered me from all my sins. When our need and Christ's sufficiency begins to dawn on us, and suddenly we're amazed and humbled at the same time. He puts up with me. He loves me, accepts me, forgives me, lets me live. Don't you love the old children's song which is printed in your bulletin? We're going to sing it right now, right at the bottom of the liturgy. Okay? You all know that now, so you're going to sing it here in a minute. And note the last line is the one we're...
Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Okay, now that woke you up and it brought to forefront that last line. You got that, didn't you? Jesus loves even me. Now, I can understand God loving a St. Francis or a St. Paul or a St. Teresa or a sweet little innocent baby. But me? I can't get over that kind of love, knowing what I am. And I hope you come to a place where you won't be able to get over that kind of love, knowing what you are. Now, when that kind of love dawns on us in gratitude to Christ for his love, then we can love others. Now, they're not necessarily changed, those others. They're still unloving, ungrateful. They're not nice. They're dirty. They're the same. But I'm different. I can love because I am loved. I see Christ. I see my sin. I see me accepted by Christ. And then I can see others in a new light. The story is told about a traveler in Africa who was watching a nun dress the wounds of a leper. The sores were revolting and repulsive, pus, pus and blood oozing out of them. And the traveler stood watching some distance away, and then he said, "I wouldn't do that for $1 million." And the nun didn't even look up, went on with her work and said, "Neither would I." But what she did would not do for money. She willingly did for love, for gratitude to one who loved her and gave himself for her. The next time you find your love running out of breath, run to the cross on a hill called Calvary and see divine love dying in agony. And know and remember how sinful you are and that you are loved anyway. And while you're there on that hill called Calvary, breathe in deeply the love of our dying Lord, and then run quickly, very quickly, back to our world and breathe his love all over it. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we do not come before you as people, as your children, who are totally depraved, because we know that you have created us good, and yet we know that our motivations, our being, is touched by sin which we cannot remove, by an unworthiness which we ourselves have chosen. So, our Father, tell us once again how much you love us and send us out to love in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.